Blog Talk Radio.
Anxiety sets in, I'm starting to pace. My nerves unsettle, sweat drips my face. Hands tight, can't escape this decision I make. Heart racing, my faith says this is my fate. I just brace and I take in the face of adversity. Tasting this certainty, the brakes ain't hurting me. Gain on, a bomb on my pain stronger. Fame smarter, street smarter, train harder. Can't stop me, drop me, I'm not losing. I'm too fast, lightning even when I'm not moving. All heart, leave these cowards on cold. I'm hot, not to mention all the power I hold. Keep moving, keep training, headstrong. Be patient, meet them head to head. I don't care if it's the least safest. Not stop and have a promise to prove I'm a fighter. It's not an option to lose.
Hello. Well, that was totally interesting. As most of you noticed, we actually started the show late. I don't know what happened. I guess my clock was misconstrued. Anyway, running around getting some stuff done for the weekend. And welcome, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to Fearless Friday. If you saw the blog entry that I put in earlier, you've gotten the gist of what's going on with that. So I have Mountain Man on there going, let's go. Thank you, Mountain Man. If it wasn't for you, I don't know what I'd be doing. Guest 2226, welcome. Welcome to the show. Nice of you to have you here. And I'm really excited for my guest that I have coming on, Shelly Nunchuck Finnegan. I can't wait. I'm so excited. She's going to be in the studio with us in a few minutes. So we'll get a little bit more to that. But in the meantime, I just want to welcome everybody, and I'm going to give you my thoughts for the night. Fearless Friday. And one of the things that I wrote in my blog is that we spend all week just TGIF, can't wait for Friday to get here, and we're so excited, and we just want to be able to relax and hang out and decompress from what we've done all week. But sometimes we lose sight of the fact that maybe there's a little bit more going on. Maybe the reason we're so frustrated at work all week is because maybe deep down inside there's other things that we wish we could do. There's other things that we're hoping and wishing that we can accomplish in our lives, and somehow that's not happening. So we might feel a little dissatisfied, but we have no idea why that is. And the reality is that we need to dig deep and realize that what is it that we really want to do? And I know I've been hitting on this a lot this week, just because of the basic fact that I see some people in my life that I love dearly, and I can see how not happy they are with some of the decisions they made. It's not that they don't have a good life, and it's not that things aren't going well for them. That's far from the point. It's just that there's still that deep-down desire of wanting to do more, of wanting to be able to accomplish more things, and it's not happening. So one of the things that I want to challenge you guys this weekend to think about is what are ways that you can get mentally prepared and just excited about everything to be able to hit the ground running on Motivational Monday, and we'll talk a little bit more. Actually, I have a surprise here. Hey, Mountain Man, are you there?
Hello.
Hey, what's up? Hey, everybody. Welcome, my co-host. Mountain Man's in the building. How is it going? Interesting on our time getting started today, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I just messed up here. I'm trying to get into... back into the show, and
I'm like all lonely. I'm like, where'd everybody go? It's like everybody that was in the chat room just like kind of disappeared on me, and I'm like, what happened? But
well,
thank you for joining me anyway. At least I don't feel all alone. Am I alone? Yeah, you're funny. You can tell I'm not a singer, right? What is that from? Isn't that from like a cartoon or something?
I believe so. I believe so. I didn't know I was going to be on their show as well.
Wouldn't you be? You're my co-host. Mountain Man in the building. No, I was just talking to our listeners about getting them pumped up on Fearless Friday to not be afraid to deep, deep and find out what it is they want to do with their lives and just whatever little thing it is, just go out there and do it and not be afraid. And then that way when they get all pumped up on Sunday for Motivational Monday instead of going, oh, it's Sunday night and I got to go to work tomorrow, instead, you know, get them pumped up and excited about life.
Exactly. I don't know what's going on with my computer tonight. I really
don't. Oh, Mountain Man, it's not just you. Mine's like, has a mind of its own. It's like, I don't know what it's doing. So how was your week? What have you been doing? I mean, it's been, what, so long since we talked?
Well, okay. I didn't sign in correctly. But I mean, there's a guest.
Welcome, welcome. What guest are you? Let me see. This is too funny. So our listeners out there, they're probably going, what is wrong with these people? Guest 2242 and 2246. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you for stopping by. Nora, thank you for stopping by and joining us. How nice of you to stop. Just having a little conversation with Mountain Man and I. You can tell we're so new at this. We, like, keep getting bounced out of our own chat room. Go figure. And we're being nice. I don't know what's going on. We're just waiting in a few minutes. Shelly Numchuck Finnegan is going to be joining us, and I'm really excited because this woman is just phenomenal. You haven't had the opportunity to meet her yet, Chris, but she's just amazing. She does martial arts. She does her own stunts. She's an actor. She does physical fitness. She's just, and on top of that, she's a really cool, amazing person. And I'm really excited because we're actually going to be working on a couple of projects coming up. So that's something
awesome.
That I'm really excited about. Yeah. So one
right,
of the things
I'm jumping
is...
real quick, and I'll be jumping right back into the chat room so I can get my act together because I'm trying to get my computer working correctly here.
So is that you, guest 2250? Is that another guest? Hi, guest 2250, in case it's not you, Mountain Man.
No,
welcome
I was
to the chat
4-6.
Room. Welcome to the thing. So anyway, while we're waiting for our guests to come in, I just want to share some other things. It's so funny. I was just, oh, there you are. Hello, Mountain Man. How are you? Mountain Man's in the chat room. Welcome, everybody. I'm hoping you're having a great Friday. I know I am. I'm having an amazing day. It's been crazy. I swear to goodness, it's like everything that I tried to get done today just didn't work, but it wasn't a bad thing. It actually was a cool thing because I actually, have you ever had those days, Mountain Man, where I'm going to do this and then you get sidetracked with something else and then you're like, oh, wait. And I know that sounds like it'd be a little bit of a scatterbrain thing, but actually turned out to be pretty good. I found a lot of stuff that I've been meaning to find. And that goes right into my thoughts of the day because have you ever had a time in your life where you feel lost, like, where am I going? Where's
I
that
have
fork
those
in the
days
road?
All the time.
Isn't it amazing?
Fact, today, I just had one of those thoughts. I'm like,
I'm telling you, it's got to be something with the weather, I mean, or the astronomy, or whatever's going on, but it's really weird how that's been going on. But it was cool because one of the things that hit the point for me was that do you realize that that gives us the opportunity to actually continue on our journey? Just because we took a little detour or we took a sidetrack doesn't mean we have to give up. I mean, my intent this morning was to clean out my closet, which, metaphorically speaking, a lot of us try to do at one point or another. But the reality is that I didn't get to finish that, and I wound up cleaning a drawer. And that sounds funny because it's like people are like, all right, scatterbrain in the building. You know, you're cleaning out your closet, you clean up a drawer. But doing that drawer was just an amazing thing because it brought back a lot of memories, some of the cards that I found in there and stuff. But it also made me realize that sometimes, even if we only get a little bit done, it's still a step or two in the right direction.
Right, right.
Yeah. And
now,
you can't give up.
Now, I hope our guest will be able to get in here.
Actually, I see. Hold on. Let me check. Miss Shelley, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you, girlfriend, loud and clear. Hey, Holly, I'd like to introduce you to my co-host, Mountain Man. Mountain Man, this is Shelly, the amazing woman that I've been talking to you about for weeks.
Oh, Shelly, I have heard so much about you. I just cannot wait for you to share your amazing stories with us.
I could go on forever. Yes, she could. And the funny thing is, though, for our listeners, too, who is probably sitting there going, oh, my God. She is so funny and so interesting that when she goes on forever, it doesn't seem like it because you just want more. I mean, I didn't even mention the fact, and we're going to get this into this a little bit later. She does stand-up comedy, too.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, and not only that, she's really funny. It's not one of those where she says a joke and there's crickets. I mean, when she says a joke, it's kind of like when you were a little kid in school and the milk would come out of your nose because it was so fucking funny.
Hey.
That's Shelly.
Watch
That's
out, Hollywood. Too. Here she comes.
Oh, yes. So, Shelly, welcome. Thank you for being on my show today. And let's go right into it. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Where did you grow up?
I grew up around here in Boston, Massachusetts. If you hear me, you'll be able to, like, really tell the more I talk with the accent. It's authentic.
Oh, my gosh. That was so funny. A couple of weeks ago, I got to share this because it was so funny. We went to Maine to do a movie. Actually, it was a friend of ours that was making the movie, and he asked us to be extras in it. So we were, like, kind of excited. We were going to be in Maine anyway. This other project, so we're like, sure, we'll do it. And then on the way up there, he calls us, and he had two people that were actually going to have small speaking parts fell through. So he bumped us up. And the funny thing is, right, Shel?
Yeah.
When we were like done, you got to tell the story. It was so funny. Go ahead and share it.
Well, we had to be like, it was for this film called Scooter Magruder with this other guy named Bill McLean. And it was just for a small scene, and I was like, with what I like to do my own stunts and fight scenes. And for me to just stand around, which is the norm for most actors, I kind of get bored, but I'm like, okay, I want to do some stuff. So, you know, they're telling us what to say, certain lines and stuff. And this one word, I swear to God, everybody, like, loved how I said it because I kept saying pass. Now, to me, my accent sounds pretty normal. But, you know, the way I'm talking, I'm up in Maine, you know, where Stephen King lives and stuff like that. So I'm, like, in the boonies, and people, like, laugh, and I'm not thinking. They're like, it sounds like I said it on purpose the same way, but I talk the way I talk because I'm from Boston. It's the way I sound. You know, I says authentic Boston accent. I'm going, Kaz, Kaz. I have to say this. I don't want to give anything away and get in trouble because Bill's like a martial artist, and he probably kicked my butt. But anyway, I kept saying Kaz, and the people were laughing, and it wasn't really supposed to be funny. It's just the way it came out, and I'm like jumping around and all excited. And,
well,
you know, I had fun.
Back it up a little bit, though. It is a bit of a comedy. It is a comedy. It's a romantic comedy. But the funny thing is that, and this is why I love the way you are, Shelly, and for our listeners to get a little hint of how you are, you took a very small part, and you had very little direction as far as how to act this particular part. And in a matter of 30 seconds, you made it so freaking funny. And it's funny when you – and everybody's cracking up. And, Mountain Man, this is the funniest thing. We're all cracking up because she's really, you know, hamming it up with this. And then they're like, oh, that accent was perfect. You know, it made it seem like we're from all over the place. And then Shelly's looking at the director going, what accent?
Yeah, I don't have a clue. I really don't, because when you live in a certain spot your whole entire life, especially Boston, you don't think of what you sound like until you go away. And the funny thing is, no matter where I've been, people say speak. Like I'm some sort of dog, or like, you know, like, do you know what I'm saying? It's like, keep going, say quiet, say this and that. And let me tell you, I was like, I'm going to have to start charging people for listen to me speak, you know, say quarter, say, you know.
It is. And the funny thing is, it brought back memories among them. This is funny. I was in Atlanta, Georgia one time, and I remember we stopped at a McDonald's, and I asked the lady, I said, can I please get a cheeseburger and a Coke? And she looked at me like, she's like, y'all talk funny. I'm like, I talk funny, really? Because it was a regional thing. She's like, no, it's all funny. She's like, say Coke again. And that was hysterical. I'm like, oh, so now I'm a comedian at the McDonald's.
Yeah, in different words.
I mean, it was just an amazing thing, Shelly, because you were just so funny in this small part. And like I, you said earlier, we don't want to give a lot away, but I guarantee you, when people watch this movie, that little character you created is going to be memorable because you did such an amazing job with it.
Yeah, because so what Sally, it is, it's like, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, you were saying?
Like, when I do parts, it's like, it's not so fact of me getting a lead in a film. It's just like, you know, you just make it as big as possible, and it's like the more of an exciting part where it's like I'm not just standing around, I can do all these exciting things. I can put myself more into it and just being natural, being funny where I'm like, when I haven't really seen myself do things, but if I'm making people laugh, I have to be doing something right.
Oh, yeah, you were and then the other thing is, too, when we're in the audience, and then we're supposed to be clapping for this guy, and then she's just, like, yelling out, I love you, and everybody's dying. Now, we're all cracking up, and even one of the camera guys had to, like, literally grab his mouth to keep from laughing out loud because it was so funny. So, on top of the fact now, so, Shelley, you grew up in the Boston area,
mm-hmm.
And what made you get into martial arts?
Well, it was kind of a little sad thing, but it was a blessing in disguise because, believe it or not, this thing that happened to me, I was with the guy for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I lived with him for a couple of years, and I was married, but the thing is, he said he didn't love me anymore, and he took off, and I was like, well, what am I supposed to do? We were supposed to become martial artists together and move to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, you know what? I says, I'm going to go do this, and the funny thing is, I've always had a passion for, like, to wanting to learn to do this. I just didn't know how to go about doing it. But
right.
I saw a film called Only the Strong. It's this martial art film. And the martial art that
movie.
I – yeah, it has this guy, Mark DeSaskos, which is the
mm-hmm.
Iron Chef. He's the guy on the Iron Chef. A lot of people don't know who he is, but he's
serious?
A
– Are you serious? That's him? Not to interrupt
yes.
you. I did not realize that was him.
Yes, that's him. He goes,
movie.
Oh, yeah, he's a very big martial artist. A lot of people don't know who
mm-hmm.
he is, but since I know
right.
the movie, and he's like, he was also in The Crow, the TV series, he was in that.
Mm-hmm.
He was in, like, he worked with Jet Li, he worked with a bunch of different people, but the thing is, when I started studying this, I already had a role model. It had nothing really to do with, like, with capoeira. I mean, I had a couple people, like, that influenced me to pick capoeira, but my biggest influence is actually Jackie Chan. And
yes, and I want to get into that a little bit more because this is something that I find fascinating, and I mean, it just goes to show the type of person that you are. So before we get into Jackie Chan, tell me now, so you went ahead, so here you have this traumatic experience where
yes, so what
I would have said it's okay for you to, you know, crumble up into a ball, give up or whatever, but you didn't do that. You decided to do what?
I decided to step into a dojo. And I talked to some people there, and I was, like, sitting there. I says, I wanted to know about it, and I was like, I don't have anything to lose, probably get, like, bruised or break an arm or break my neck or something like that. But I sat there, and, you know, I mean, I was like, what have I got to lose? And it's like, how old was I? I think 34 years old, and this was back
good
in the
you.
Year. Yeah, about
you mean 34 years young.
yeah, 34 years young. And I said, you know what? I'm going to do this for myself. I've never done anything for myself. And I was like, you know, I got into it, and I started training, like, 4 days a week. And I got so much into it, and I got ripped and everything like that. And it was like, you know, I was better off at a job back then, like, for more training and stuff. And then it's like
mm-hmm.
the most amazing thing is, like, I met the headmaster, and it's like, this martial art is actually African-Brazilian, which started in Africa and transcended into Brazil. And
mm-hmm.
it's not really taught English. It's taught in Portuguese. So I
mm-hmm.
was very, very confused. And I'm going halfway, like, the other way. The class is going one way. I'm going the other way. I'm like,
my own
you know,
heart. That sounds like me, always going in the wrong direction.
So the only way that my instructor, which his name is Instructor Caveira, for him to get a hold of me is to give by my martial arts nickname, which you're baptized with the nickname from your instructor, and it has
mm-hmm.
to do with also with the history. And mine is Poja Arrows, and I'm sitting there going, well, what the heck does this mean? He goes, oh, Poja, it means white powder. I go, Caveira. now, they really have meanings, and I'm looking at him, and I'm going, looking at him, I go, white powder. I'm like, Caveira, he's like looking at me. He wants to laugh. I go, I know I'm Caucasian, But white soda, what's going on? What's going on with this? Like, so no, what it is, it's like when I'm in the classroom in the dojo, I'm very quiet, very humble, and it's like, but then it's like after class is over, I like making people laugh. I like, you know, the kids love me and stuff. And someone says, no, what it really means is wacky clown, because the powder means clown, because I'm very comedic, and it's like I love life and stuff like that. And it's like, so it really represented like my personality and stuff, because I was like, white powder. I was like, I love animals. I am like this and that. I says, no, name me after my idol, Jack and Kiana. White powder. I says, I know. Come on now. But it was like, it really meant that. Yeah, I'm like, white powder, you know, let's go to Dunkin' Donuts. You know, I'll go sit and have a donut with the coffee. And but it really does mean something. He really, like, you don't get your martial arts nickname in capoeira for, like, a little while. It, like, your instructor has to figure out what you are, what you represent. And I was like, I go, you know, and it was, like, it was very, like, amazing that he gave me this name. And it's, like, how, and just, like, everything came about for me with this martial arts. I go, oh, I really love it. And I went up
So in reality, Shelley, you actually got to discover a part of you that you didn't know existed before. And now the martial arts, is that what got you into the acting, or did the acting become part of the martial arts?
Well, the thing is, I've always wanted to, like, you know, do films when I was little, but I was like, I figured, oh, maybe I'm not pretty enough, I'm not funny enough, and it's like I had very low self-esteem, and it's like the more I started getting into martial arts and just making people laugh, people were going to me, well, why don't you go and audition? I go, I'm not pretty, you know, I was like saying all these things. I says, no, I'm not good enough, and it's like people like, no, Shelley, you are, and it's like, you know, and it's like I just kept seeing more and more myself shine when I was in the dojo. So then it's like I went out for, like, one dinner theater, and it's like then it's like I stopped doing that dinner theater, and then I got into another dinner theater. And people are like, well, why don't you go out for, like, films? And I go, for films? I was like, I don't look like a model. And people are like, that's not what it's about. It's about personality. It's like certain films, they want certain looks, like certain films. But it's like I come to realize, the realization is, it's not the fact of being the most beautiful person for all films. Maybe they want a beauty for certain films, but mostly it is personality and what you can bring to a character. Sometimes you might have, like, a little bit of a certain look, but you don't have to be the most beautiful person in the world. And I was like, oh, Shelley,
let me stop you right there, because the reality is that beauty actually is a perception, because I know that, for example, my husband and I have had this conversation, the girl from Sex and the City, what's her name, Jessica there, a lot of people don't think she's pretty or beautiful, but it's her persona, and I think she is pretty in her own way. So it's this perception that we have that Hollywood is always looking for the perfect, which doesn't exist, perfect 6 foot something, model looking type person, but that's not the case though.
Yeah. That's what I started
realizing. The reality is that you have something to bring, and this is something that we talked about, that you can take the most beautiful woman in the world, and you can try to teach her martial arts or try to make her look like she knows what she's doing, but if you know anything about it, you know that that person is just a real beautiful woman trying to do it. In actuality, you have someone like you who is pretty, by the way, but you know that you know what you're doing. And that's actually something that when a director or a producer wants that realism in their film, that's what they're going to go after.
Right.
Yeah. And I was like, when I first got into acting, like, it was very, very hard, because it's like, I mean, you guys know sometimes some people can be very, very rude. And I'm sitting there, and it's like, because when I'm on set, it's like what I've seen, sometimes it's like a meat market where people try to hit on people and stuff like this and that. And it's like, for me, mostly, I seem to work more with men. And when I'm sitting there having a conversation, it could be like a really cute guy, but I'm sitting there going over like stunts and just talking and says, oh, like, you know, I have this little screenplay that I wrote, and it's like, it's kind of my little Jackie Chan type of thing. And it's like, I'm sitting there talking to a guy, and this actually happened to me one time, and this, like, the girl was really cute and stuff, and it's like, it was like very rude, and she was like jumping in front of me, and like, I was on set, and I was talking to a few guys, and it was like, I wasn't hitting on a guy. I was sitting there talking about, like, you know, my screenplay and blah, 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 this and that. And she's like, oh, look at me, I'm cute. And she was, like, trying to, like, pick up the guy, like, saying, hey, look at me, look at me. And people were, like, looking at her, like, she was trying to get the attention of these guys. And, you know.
See, that goes to exactly what we were talking about, the fact that you have the package deal. You have the personality. You have the skills and stuff. And that has gone a long way. Now, I want to cover a little bit of this, too, that you came to acting in martial arts at a time, because you shared the fact that you were, what, 34 when you started martial arts?
Yeah.
And so a lot of people would sit there and go, you know, 34 is kind of old, but the reality is that it's not. And the reality is that you came to acting in martial arts at a time that most people were thinking that it's too late or whatever, but you've actually been able to literally take the local scene by storm, because a lot of people know who you are and some of the skills that you have. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, haven't you actually done films where they've actually created or expanded on the character that they gave you in the part?
What did you say? It was a little cloudy. You said something about
Haven't you actually been cast in movies or shorts or things where they've actually incorporated part of who you were and your talent into it?
Yes. But my love for Jackie Chan, yes. This summer, like, two people have, Justin Fielding and Dennis Hurley. They're kind of known throughout the Boston community, and they took my character where it was a slacker film. And what they did is my love for Jackie Chan was incorporated into a character where we're supposed to be counting the store, and it was really huge and everything. And I actually got to use my nunchucks in the film, like just swinging around, doing my thing. And I was like, I was like very loudmouth and stuff, and I was like saying, I want to be a stunt person, I want to work with Jackie Chan. And it's like they actually wrote it into the film, and it's like it's kind
That's
of
awesome.
Like you know, it was just like I was like, wow, this is really cool. And it's like they really gave me a lot of lines, and it was like, you know, like I'm the total opposite of most actors, where scripts are easier for them and improv's a lot easier. Like scripts would take me a lot longer to memorize. If people say, okay, Shelley, we're gonna do this, do that, do this, and I can do that right on the spot when they're telling me to. A lot of actors are afraid of that. I'm like, okay, you want to pick me up and throw me right on the spot? Go right ahead. Just like, you know, you want to beat the crap out of me? Go right ahead. I said, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, pick me up, throw me a bar, do anything like that, and I would love to do it. Just do things like right on the spot, and people would be like, their mouths would drop like, that's not what we studied.
No, but the reality is, though, Shelley, that that's what's made you unique, because you're not your cookie cutter. I mean, you know, you talked earlier about the fact that you didn't think you were pretty enough, and I know a lot of people think that that's how you have to be, and unfortunately, Hollywood has bought into that because they think that you have to have a certain look or whatever. But in reality, you've actually been able to create a niche for you that I don't care how many actresses you audition, you have it. You have the package deal, and that's something that you can't teach. Now, how did you wind up with your nickname?
Well, the thing is, it was like kind of influenced, like brought on by my idol Jackie Chan.
Mm-hmm.
And it was something where people were telling me, like when I first got into acting, people say, because I look Italian, you should get an Italian last name. And I go, but that's not going to make me stand out. And I was like, what's going to make me stand out and, like, kind of seem like I'm an action superstar? And I'm like, I'm always carrying my nunchucks to auditions. You ask anybody.
Okay, wait. We
got to
stop you right there. Okay, now this is the funniest thing.
Whoa.
You carry nunchucks in your purse.
Yes.
Okay, did you hear that, Mountain Man?
Yeah.
She carries nunchucks. And the thing is, she knows what to do with them. Now, Shelley, I know you talked about how did you learn to use them?
I put on a Bruce Lee tape, like Enter the Dragon.
Mhm.
And I just started swinging them. Like I'm really starting to learn with my left hand. I was like, oh, this is fun. But it was like the hard thing is, like, I was trying to learn in parts, but I kept myself in the head, and then I kept hitting myself on the elbow, and I said, oh, that really hurts. But what I was doing, I says, no, I don't want to stop. And it's like, because, you know, where I live, I have two cats, and my cats are like, look at that slicing. I'm like, no, don't do that. They try to jump up. And I'm like, I'm so scared, like, to do it where I live, because it's not a big place. And I'm like, my cat's like,
oh,
oh,
man.
Oh.
I'm laughing. I'm laughing, Shelly, because I can relate to you. I have been practicing with nunchucks for the last few months, and I swear to God, and mind you, Shelly, for our listeners, uses the real ones. Like, she's got these really cool real ones, and when my husband got mine, he's like, got me the practice ones, and I'm like, I want the real ones. He's like, what, so you can split yourself open? And I took offense to that. I'm telling you, when I whacked myself for the first time with a practice one, I wanted to cry because I whacked myself right in the eye. And that's basically, it's trial and error. And even my husband said to me, because he knows how to use them, and he says to me, no, it's no joke. He's like, when I was a teenager, I thought I knocked myself out a couple of times.
Yeah.
With it.
Oh, and now I realize how hard it is to do it. What, my man?
We all have to watch out if you two are using nunchucks.
Oh, yes. Yes, and the funny thing is, for our listeners, to give them a visual, not only does Shelly know how to use the nunchucks, she actually does it to music, and it looks awesome. So you actually self-taught yourself how to do this.
Yeah, because I was like, they're just very, believe it or not, they're actually comfortable in my hands. I don't know if that sounds ironic or not, because it's a deadly weapon. Because when you look at them,
I get you. You know what I'm saying?
If you take them apart, it's two plastic sticks, really, and it's a chain. But you put it together, and, you know, it's a deadly weapon. And you really, if you think about it, nail file could be a deadly weapon, a pencil, but it's like, you know, these things are been a lot of martial art films, and it's like, I wanted something where I'm going to be like, catches people's eyes, and it's like, you know, now when I go on sets, now at the end, like when we're like all fooling around, I get guys that have never picked up nunchucks before, and we're all like flinging them around. Mm-hmm. And it's just something that it's like, they're like, oh, the expression on their faces, they're like, like, no one believes me. Like, I says, yeah, I got my nunchucks in my bag, in my purse. And they're like, oh, okay. And then when I pull off, they're going, oh, my God, you are kidding. And I'm like, yeah, I know. See? People think I'm fooling.
No, and I can relate to that because for some of my listeners that know, I have an exchange student from Korea, and I've had him for almost 2.5 years. And obviously when I practice my martial arts and stuff, I don't do it in front of people because they're in school when I practice. I'm usually in. But it was funny, the other day he actually came in as I was practicing with the swords of this movie we've got coming up, and there was a horror on his face, like, you know how to do that? I'm like, yeah. It was funny. It's like, it doesn't compute to them that women like us, old birds, as they want to call us,
old birds, yeah.
The nunchucks. I know, we do the nunchucks, we do the staff, we got the sword, we got the short knife, the short sword, and of course the martial arts. And now in this production that we're doing, they actually have us dancing. I thought that was like, oh my God, you want me to dance. I can shoot somebody, I can chase them, I can, you know, scare the bejeebies out of them with the sword, but now all of a sudden you want me to dance too. It was pretty interesting. And Shelly, you just jumped right in there and self-taught yourself this, and that's just amazing to me.
Yeah, I just, do you know something? I just figured, well, this is my time now. I says, if anything, I was like, I never had the chance to, like, I don't know if you can say if I, having to, like, have a childhood, just because it's like I didn't have a happy childhood. I was very poor and, like, slept on the floor, and it's like, you know, I was a good kid, and it's like, seriously, you know how you see those films like The Karate Kid? And Ralph Macchio played, like, you know, the good kid, but he always got picked on by the bullies. And when I was younger, that's what happened. It's like, I used to get beat up. I was the good kid, you know, always, like, I was always called ugly and all these things when I was very younger, and I always carried that, but it's like, what happened is I'm like, you know, this is it. This is my time now to shine. So it's like, get into martial arts and the acting. Now stunts and fight scenes. And it's like, it's just like one thing just going on and on. It's like a path, my destiny, that I know I will work with my idol, Jackie Chan. I know I'm going to. And I bet you I can bring him here.
And, you know, it's funny because talking about that, you just finished, well, you said earlier that you hadn't actually seen yourself up to recently. Now, in August, you went to a premiere, and you want to tell us a little bit about the movie you were in?
Yes, the movie itself, it was a very special movie to me, very dear.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Inner Korea, and it was a fantasy film, and it's about a young girl a teenage girl, and she finds a book, and the book comes to life. And it's this other little girl, and she tells stories, and there's, like, good and bad in it and stuff like that. And the thing is, a lot of the women, including myself, we did our own stunts and fight scenes. Mm-hmm. And the most blessed thing that came out of the film, and I'm going to start crying right now. It's a blessing. It's such a wonderful thing. I kind of got adopted as a little sister to my big brother from a man named Ahura Z. And I'm not sure the correct pronunciation of his last name, so everyone calls him Z. And it's just like, because I saw him actually, how the whole thing came about. Do you want me to start about that and then get into the film? Well, the thing is, I saw him on a film site called Our Film Space. And the thing is, I think a lot of people might become intimidated with this picture because the thing that people do, because in their minds, they might look at him and say, oh, look, he's a big black guy. Okay, that's what they're thinking, and
no,
they must
I
be scared.
I gotta stop you right there because Shelly,
no, because
you
that's what
telling
people
me. I know, and this is a running joke because we actually talked to Z about this, and he just laughed at you, but if you see the picture of him, he's actually in a bow. And he's holding something. Now, Shelly, you want to tell our listeners what you thought it was, and this is what your introduction was to me.
Well, see, the thing is, for me, since it's martial arts, and you know what a bow means in martial arts, is a very respectful thing. Now, the thing I thought he had some funky wooden nunchucks. Oh, Lord. It wasn't even that. It was something to do with his culture, because he's Polynesian, if I can say his right.
He's
Maori descent, and had to do with this culture and stuff. And it was like, because I'm so like naive, I was like, the way I come up with things, oh, those look like cool nunchucks and this and that and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I'm just going on and on. It's like, because things don't dawn on me. Like, when I first saw him, like, I was like, I have to get in touch with this man. I said, just for some reason. And the funny thing is, some other actors that had gone up before me had brought up my name, and it's like he had seen my picture. He's like, I have to meet this girl, this young woman.
Oh, yeah. It was definitely something that was meant to be.
And it was just like, when I started talking on the phone, it's just something that clicked, and it's like, you've got to come up. And it was like, I was going up for a year, and it was like, you know, just doing the film and getting into it in costumes, and it's like, you know,
now let me stop you right there with the movie. Now, you actually did your own stunts in the movie.
Yes, I
and
did
I
my
want
own
you to
stunts.
To share a little bit about, because you actually have more than one part in this movie, and I want you to tell me. Yeah, it was awesome because the best part I liked was when you got to play one of the bad guys. And
yes.
Now you really need to tell me about what you went through to get those stunt scenes, because these stunt scenes were like, they were not cookie cutter. He didn't speed up the things. What you see happen actually happened in the taping of the movie. So tell us a little bit about some of the stuff you went through when you guys were filming that action scene.
Okay, that thing there, it was, we went up to this, it's actually a pot in Maine. And it has, like, some history. It has, like, this little, it's not a castle, but it's like a fort. I think it's actually a fort, and it's actually used back, I think, for, like, protection on the land and stuff. So it was actually, like, used in the film. But around then, you know, it was, like, actually really good footage to use. And it was kind of cold that day, but my characters, he was very smart. Ahura did this for a purpose because I was trying so hard a lot, saying, you know, I can do some stunts, I can do my own fight scenes, and it's like,
oh, be careful
so,
what you ask for. Be careful
yeah,
what
be
you
careful
ask
what
for.
Be careful what you ask for. Really? But it's like, people are like, no, why he did this on purpose? He says, I'm going to dress you all in black. And the reason why is because when I was like asking people, and I was like, because as you know, I'm not a small petite woman. I'm 5'8", and I'm very tall. I'm taller than some men. And I was like, you know, I could go head to head with some men. And it's like, when I was talking with some men for, like, auditions and stuff that knew less than me, that just did a kick and stuff and got popped in films, I go, this is ridiculous. When people are like, well, they want men. That's what they want. I go, well, that's kind of not fair.
Too, because the reality is the way your character is dressed in the movie, you don't know that it's a woman.
He did that on purpose. He goes, watch, I do things for a reason. So when I was doing the scene, what happened was we had nothing on the ground. It was real ground. It was outside. It was very cold, too, on top of it. So this is going to get worse as I go on. But the thing is, the reality is what Z told me is like, he says, well, you got to get ready for this. I said, okay, all right, let's do this, right? So he said, come after me, get mad. I go, no. I go, he goes, why not? You got to kick me, really kick me out. No, I like it. Shelly, come on now, kick me.
Right, no, no. Shelly, I got to stop you right here. For our listeners to get a visual now, Z is huge. Like, he's really tall,
yes,
and he's really muscular. And if he's the type of person that if, when I was a police officer and he was a bad guy, if he had jumped at me in an alley, I would have started shooting first and asking questions later because he has that imposing personality. Now, he's going to kill me for saying this. He's really a sweetheart and charming. He's like
he
a big teddy bear. Oh, my God, he's just going to kill me. But he's that imposing. So, to me, every time that Shelly was getting ready for her scene and he's like, I want you to really kick me to make it real, she's like, but I don't want to hurt you. I'm like, girlfriend, you would have needed a truck to hurt me and hit him at about 50 miles an hour. But he told you, he's like, if you really want to do this, we're really going to want to do this. So, one of the scenes in it, and for people when they get the opportunity, because they're actually going to do a premiere again, you get flipped into the air. Now,
well,
you want to explain that to us?
Well, see, the thing is, like, the kid that was supposed to be on my team, the bad side, the thing that happens is he was supposed to get up on his mock, right? There's a mock, and I'm supposed to get thrown into him, right? So he kept forgetting to get up where his mock was. So Z flung me, and I kept hitting the ground. And I'm going, now I'm getting up like punch drunk, like wobbling around. I'm going, oh, my God, oh, my God. And Z goes, Shelly, is this what you asked for? I'm like, yeah, okay, let's do it, right? I don't know how many takes it was. And on top of that, since it was muddy, I kept landing. I think I landed in poop. And it was like my head, I'm not kidding.
Shelly kept saying, I think I got poop in my hair. And they're like, you want to stop? No, so they're like, so you want to stop? They're like, no. She's like, no, let's just finish it. I was like, oh, man, this is ridiculous. And it was just so, I know, it was so amazing. But you were such a trooper. You're like, you know what? We got to do it. And when you see the final product on camera, it's just, you could tell it's real. You can tell it's so realistic because she just wasn't pulling any punches, should I say. She just went out and she did it. And the funny thing is you were telling me later on the next day, how are you feeling?
Very sore, almost like I was paralyzed. I go, what did I do? I was just like, my left side, I was like, I go, I can't move my arm. Oh, this is how Jackie Chan feels. I can't move my arm. I was like, yeah! I says, battle scars, love it. It means I'm alive.
See, and that was the funny thing. I swear to goodness, anybody else would have said, you know what, I am really through with this martial arts stuff. I'm really through with these doing my own scenes. Nope, Shelly's like, I can't feel my arm. This is awesome. Shelly, are you okay? Because that's the kind of person that you are. And then you actually got to go to the premiere. That was back in August. And you did a great job. I mean, the fight scenes were awesome. You actually got to play another character in there, a couple of other characters in there as well. And the thing that gets me is that, once again, I have to say, and Shelly and I, we laugh because I adopted her as my little sister, and we talk about the fact that we probably were separated at birth because so many things are similar. I became a police officer when I was 21, and I learned, you know, hand-to-hand combat and that kind of stuff, but never martial arts. That's always what I wanted to do. And babies and life kept getting in the way. So I didn't come to martial arts till my late 20s, early 30s. And then I studied for a year. And then when I moved to where I live now, I think I was like, goodness, probably 36, 37 before I was actually into it full time. And let me tell you something. For people that think it's hard, it is, but it isn't. I mean, it just gives you so much back. When Shelly talked about the self-confidence, I remember the first time I was a police officer. The first time my instructor came at me, my sensei came at me, and he does this karate scream with the, I just went like noodle. I'm like, and I screamed like a girl, and it scared the heck out of me. And he's so funny because he says to me, why you scream? What'd you call? Give him a heart attack? I said, hey, at least he's dead. Yeah, it does. It just gives you this thing of confidence. And now Shelly laughs at me. She's like, anytime someone comes near you when we're practicing, you just get right into it and you just get that intimidation mode. And it did. It gave us a lot of self-confidence. And Shelly, you have just been doing an amazing job. Now, you're actually working on another project now?
Yeah, it's called Valkyrie. I can't really say the plot because it's, protection, because there's a lot of people that steal ideas. But I do have to say, because there's actually pitches put out where we're going to ride horses, and there's more weaponry, and, like, Z himself, he's a master of, like, 8 different martial arts. And the man himself will work with me personally. And the thing is, he is going to feature me in all films for the rest of my life. He says, you know, he just doesn't care what anybody says or what anybody thinks of me. He will stand up for me because he is my big brother. And I just wish he came into my life
years ago. Just to add to that, Shelly, real quick, the other thing that I find amazing about Z and his wife, Sonari, and the production company that they started is that when I went up there for my audition for the first time, and it's kind of funny because Shelly and I have been going back and forth on Facebook, another plug, and because I've made some amazing Our film space first and then Facebook. So we kept going back and forth, and it was funny when we finally got to meet. My husband's looking at us like, how long have you known her? And I'm like, known her? Or he's like, okay, I get it, another internet buddy of yours, because it was like, like a reunion. But one of the things that hit me after the fact was, and again, we don't want to give too much of the plot out, is that the majority of the leading parts in this movie was cast with women that are of varying ages, sizes, and demeanors. And I have to say, probably the majority of the actresses are over 40 or close to, yet all their parts are these very strong women. They're warriors. They're very strong. They're very, just leader type women that can be looked up to, and the respect that is being conveyed there, where we don't have to worry about skimpy costumes, we don't have to worry about nudity or sex scenes or any of that, because it's that type of a movie where the woman is respected. And I have to tell you, Shelly, that was like one of the most refreshing things for me.
Yeah, and the thing too is like for my love, like I don't have any kids, and like what people make me feel, like they feel because of my age, because I just turned 39, and people have
happy birthday.
Like,
I'm getting to you.
Oh, thank you.
Happy birthday, Wednesday.
Happy birthday, Shelly.
By the way, our listeners, you need to check her out on ourfilmspace.com, Shelly Nunchucks. She doesn't even look anywhere near her age. I mean, she's just active, and she's in a lot of things.
Throw it in the web page.
What?
Yeah, our film space or Facebook?
Yes, either one. So, Shelly, you again, like you said, this is something about how people make you feel, and the fact that this production company is very respectful, and it's all about the art form and bringing the most out in the person as an actor, as a stunt person, as a creative force. And there's none of that boundaries getting marked where, okay, in order to look like a tough warrior, you have to be half naked. No, that's not the reality of it. You're there to show your ability.
Yeah, it's like what I have to give, and it's like I'm willing to put my body, like, physically into a role, and not just emotionally, but it's like to go through pain and transformation. It's like I've actually dyed my hair. I was a brunette, and it's like I wanted to be red. So they actually, last Sunday, they actually, Z's daughter, Kazi, like, was helping with my hair. They bleached my whole head, and I'm trying to put more red in it, so I'm not a brunette anymore. Orangey red, and I was like, maybe for each film I'd like to change the color of my hair, but I'm trying to get it to red. And I was like, I would just like to transform myself a little bit more for each film and just show.
Yeah, because you're creating a character. Now, Shelly, real quick, I don't mean to interrupt you because we're almost running out of time, but I have a couple of questions for you.
Sure.
Now, I have a lady in the chat room, which I love this lady because she's like strong and beautiful, and that's another one of our film space person that I met on set and stuff. But she wants to know, when are you going to get to meet Jackie Chan?
Let's see. Z is working very hard on that, and believe me, if she's not the only one that wants to see me working with him, it's like if I could if I had a chance, I'd even go tomorrow. If people can get me to meet him, believe me, it would a lot of people would be very happy. People are really working on it, and they really want to see me work him. And I was like, I would love to get Jackie Chan to come to Boston and make a full feature-length film here. Because people say, it's impossible. Why would Jackie Chan want to work with you? And I've had people yell at me.
You know what, Shelley? I have to stop you right there, because the reality is that a few years ago, the thought of the kind of A-list actors that we have here now was an impossibility. Because I remember 7-8 years ago, the thought of Tom Cruise making a movie here, or, you know, Cameron Diaz, Mel Gibson, all these big stars, people are like, that's never going to happen. Before, when The Rock was just an idea, the Plymouth Rock, people are like, that's never going to happen. It's not going to happen. If you want to be an actor, you got to go to New York or California. And as we've seen, that has changed. So what's the difference between someone like Mel Gibson or Tom Cruise, who's one of the most powerful men in Hollywood, coming here? What would be the difference between Jackie Chan? So that's something that I don't see any reason why it wouldn't happen. And the reality is that...
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, Shelley, I got another question. I have an email here. They want to know, what suggestions, Mary 2317 wants to know, what suggestions do you have for women to help them become stronger and to be able to have the confidence to do some of the things that you're doing?
If they're not already into a physical activity, that's where to start first, to build up their self-esteem, to make themselves feel better, and to believe in yourself no matter what anybody says to you, even if they yell at you and say, you will never do that. Believe in yourself, because I've been there. I've just been through, I can't even explain. People have made me cry. People have made fun of me. They made fun of my accent. They've said so many bad things about me, and I'm a good person. But find the people that are positive and keep them around you that help believe in you. That's what you have to do. You know, just keep going no matter what. Don't stop.
Absolutely, and that's one of the reasons why I really wanted to have you on the show, because that's the main theme of our show. That's why I call it the diamond in the rough, because there's so many people out there that are surrounded by what I call dream stealers, you know, that for whatever reason, it's not that they're not good people, it's just that for whatever reason, life dealt them the wrong hand, and they decided to take it, and now they feel the need to kind of do the same with other people, and it's just not a good situation to be in. And I'm so glad that you talked about that, about the fact that you got to have the courage to continue. Shelley, we're almost out of time. Thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it. I'm definitely going to have you back on.
Oh, definitely. Anytime. Because I talk forever.
And real quick, I got to share a story. We're in the car one day, and Shelley was talking about this song that used to pump her up and stuff. And she's like, oh, it's the best song ever. And then when I heard it, I said, Shelley, that's my son's in that. She goes, get out of here. So I'm going to definitely end the show with putting that song on for you, Shelley. Shelley, thank you so much for joining me. And I'm looking forward to seeing you tomorrow as we go up there and get beat up again, getting ready for our rope.
Yes, going to be my big brother.
Yes, exactly. Monday, David Tolson is going to be with us. He is actually the head of the scriptwriters organization. They're actually having a meeting on Sunday at MIT, 1 o'clock in the afternoon to 4 o'clock. Richie Minovelli is going to be their guest speaker. This is a place to network and share ideas for scripts and stuff. You're all more than welcome. If you're interested in going, he actually posted it on Facebook. Look under scriptwriters, and you'll be able to get the information there. To all our people in the chat room, thank you so much for joining me, Mountain Man, for being there, Recon 55, Scoop Blogger. Thanks for stopping by. And to all the people that emailed us, I'm sorry I wasn't able to get to all the questions, but I will definitely make sure that Shelley answers them. And remember, Mountain Man, thank you so much for joining me. And
you're
together
welcome.
We say,
well,
do not let anybody steal your dreams away.
That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, exactly. And here goes the song to you,
I bet you with my nuts.
Anxiety sets in, I'm starting to pace.
Yeah.
Sweat drips my
Call
face.
Me back.
Can't escape this decision I make. Heart racing, my face says this is my fate. I'm just bracing. I take in the face of adversity. Tasting this certainty, the brakes ain't hurting me. Gain on a bomb, my pain stronger. Fame smarter, street smarter, train harder. Can't stop me, drop me, I'm not losing. I'm too fast, lightning even when I'm not moving. All heart, leave these cowards on cold. I'm hot, not to mention all the power I hold. Keep moving, keep training, headstrong, be patient. Meet them head to head, I don't care if it's the least safest. Not stopping, have a promise to prove. I'm a fighter, it's not an option to lose.